To come here, I'll talk about the spectrum of strings on WAPT ADS3. It's based on work with people at Harvard, Azianagi, Hoffman. Hoffman has been has gone to Stanford, and Strominger. Let me start with our motivations. First of all, string spectrum is usually very interesting, but unfortunately, it's only known for only a few backgrounds. For example, the trivial flat space and PBWale background, and also ADS3 cross S3 times M4 supported by NS fluxes, and some other few examples. Today, I will give you another example where we can get the string spectrum exactly. Second, why we are interested in this topic is that WAPT ADS appears in various physics contexts, for example, in Kerr CFT correspondence and ADS CMT correspondence on Schrodinger spacetime in three dimensions, and also on non-local dipole deformed field theory. Here is the outline of the rest of this talk. First, I will give an introduction to WAPT ADS3. I will tell you what is WAPT ADS3 and related to dipole deformations and also Kerr CFT correspondence. Then I will show you how to study string theory on WAPT ADS3 cross S3. Then I will summarize by giving you the spectrum on this background. Now, WAPT ADS3 is a fabrication of S1 over ADS2. The asymmetry group is SL2R, which is the asymmetry of ADS2, and U1, which is the asymmetry of the S1. The signature of the U1 will decide whether it is space-like WAPT or time-like WAPT or now WAPT. The length, which is a constant of the U1 fiber, will decide whether it is a stretched, scorched, or ordinary ADS3. So here I wrote down the metric of WAPT ADS3 when it is space-like or time-like WAPT, where sigma 1, sigma 2, and sigma 3 are the SL2R invariant 1 forms. And L square is the ADS3 radius. When lambda equals to 0, this is just the ordinary ADS3. But when lambda is a constant but non-zero, it is either stretched or scorched WAPT ADS. For now, WAPT ADS, here is the metric. When lambda equals to 0, this is just the ordinary ADS3. But when lambda equals to non-zero, there is a now fabrication. WAPT ADS3 appears in many theories. In three dimensions, it has to be Einstein gravity supported with matter. Either it could be a massive U1 field or some other matter field, or topological massive gravity, or even the new massive gravity, and some other examples. These three-dimensional theories, in particular, Einstein gravity with matter, can be obtained from six-dimensional compactifications. The six-dimensional supergravity, which can be obtained from type 2B string theory, where the six-dimensional geometry is WAPT ADS3 cross WAPT S3. Lots of work has been done on the dictionary of holography on WAPT ADS3. But lots of questions are still not quite clearly answered. We don't know whether we should think it the dual field theory, whether it is a two-dimensional conformal field theory or not, and we are not clear about the boundary conditions. People have proposed the two possible boundary conditions, one with where the asymptotic symmetry group is generated by two Weyl zeros, or one Weyl zero with a Kazimuddin U1 algebra. So there are many proposals for the holography, and consistent boundary conditions has been found, such that either the asymptotic symmetry group is a left moving Weyl zero or a right moving Weyl zero and plus a right moving Kazimuddin.
Yes,
when it is generated with Weyl zero plus Kazimuddin, it's not the CFT in the traditional sense. But there are examples that such theory exists.
Yeah,
Maybe you will not call it a conformal field theory, but such field theory could exist. Jeffrey Compare and Andy Strominger and me, we are writing up a paper where we are going to give an example, such an example. Maybe it will, okay. I know it's confusing.
A field theory,
where the symmetry group is generated with a red moving Weyl zero and also a red moving Kazimuddin. Okay, but there are many confusing things about the holography of WAPD ADS, but there is one property for this dictionary, which people have all agreed on. This is for a massive scalar, the dual conformal weight of the conformal weight of the dual primary field is given by this formula, where H is the conformal weight and M is the mass of the scalar, lambda is the deformation parameter, and P is the momentum of the scalar along this U1 direction. So this formula was first obtained from supergravity analysis, and today I will show you how this become natural in the context of string theory. Now, let me switch to something closely related. It's called the deformed field theory. First proposed by Borgman, I guess this group, Gina and these people. Dipole deformed theory, ordinary product of fields is replaced by a non-local step product. For example, for two functions f and j, which are momentum and charge eigenstate, their step product is given by this formula, where L is the length of the dipole deformation, and Q is the charge, P is the momentum. This is the field theory set. In the bulk, when the background speed time, this dipole deformation appears when the background space time has two U1 asymmetries. A dipole deformation is due to applying a TST transformation. A TST transformation is first do a T duality along one of this U1 direction, and then shift the second U1 direction by amount of the first U1 direction, and then T dual along the first direction again. When the two U1 directions are both parallel comes from a brain construction, when the two U1 directions are parallel to the brain configuration, this is a non-commutative deformation for conformal field theory. And when it's both transverse, it's the beta deformation. And when one is transverse and the other is parallel, it's this dipole deformation. So dipole deformation and warped ADS has many similar properties. So here is an example. When we have this D1, D5 CFT in the bulk, the near horizon geometry is ADS3 cross S3. When we do a dipole deformation, when it becomes warped ADS3 times squashed S3. When it is supported by NSNS background at T, zero temperature, the near horizon is zero temperature BTZ black hole, and the dual the TST background is the now warped ADS3, which is also called the Schrödinger space in three dimensions. At finite temperature, the TST background becomes space-like, squash the warped ADS3. One can choose a consistent boundary condition so that the asymptotical symmetry group is either a left real circle, is generated by a left real circle with a central charge given by 6 times the Q square, or a red moving real circle with a central charge the same thing, and or plus Kac-Moody level with level equals to Q square. There are two proposals for the macroscopic entropy. First we notice that the entropy after the TST transformation is the same as the entropy or entropy density as before the TST transformation. So in our proposal, we propose that the dual CFT has a left moving, it's consistent with the proposal that the dual CFT has a left moving and right moving conformal group, and the left moving and right moving central charges are 6Q square as before, and also the temperatures also doesn't change. This Cardy formula will give the same entropy as the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. But there is another proposal where the It's given by Stephen Detonet, Tom Hartman, and Diego Hoffman. The entropy, the main idea is that they suppose that the dual CFT is generated by a Virasoro, a red moving Virasoro, and also a red moving Kac-Moody, where here P0 is the momentum along this of this Kac-Moody. They suppose there is a well-defined vacuum. So P0 vacuum is the momentum at the vacuum, where K is the level of the Kac-Moody. Here, L0 is the L0 for the red moving Virasoro, and K is L0 vacuum. It's the vacuum value of L0. So to summarize so far, there are two proposals. One is that the dual CFT may have two Virasoros, and the other is the dual CFT has one Virasoro, is generated by one Virasoro and one Kac-Moody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that, yes. So in order that we have real entropy, PWAC has to be imaginary. Okay, now let me review a little bit about Kerr CFT. It's the conjecture that quantum gravity in the near horizon region of extremal Kerr is holographically due to a two-dimensional field theory with central charge C, where C left equals to 12G. This is further generalized to many other examples. For example, with charges and higher dimensions, and also to non-extremal Kerr black holes. But Kerr CFT, a peculiar property of the Kerr CFT correspondence is that it has a near geometry, a near horizon geometry, which we call it NEC. NEC and WAP ADS3, they both have asymmetry SL2R cross U1. And also, this NEC has in six dimensions and five dimensions. Well, first of all, NEC has been embedded into the context, Kerr CFT can be embedded in the context of string theory. And for example, in the five-dimensional Kerr Newman black hole can be applicable to six dimensions. And there is a family of this neck geometries. At a particular point, it's just the near horizon geometry neck. It's just the ADS3 cross S3, which is the dual CFT of the D1-D5 configuration. Another example is that the four-dimensional neck, if it is directly product with S1 fiber and can be embedded also in string theory, and at a particular point of this whole family, it becomes the near horizon geometry becomes ADS3 cross S2, and that's just the MSW CFT. At the generic point of these two examples, NEC is just warped ADS3 times some other fabrications. Now, here is some similar properties of the holography between warped ADS3 and the Kerr CFT. So first of all, a neck always have a warped ADS3 as a subspace, and they always have this momentum dependent conformal weight, as I mentioned before. And in this, they have the same SMG group, and if we will other configurations of neck as a deformation from D1, D5 CFT or MSW CFT, neck and they always have this the deformation operator is a conformal weight 2,1 operator. And at the we can also do some green construction where from D1, D5 configuration, we can put on some D1, D5 charge densities along the original D1, D5, or put on some NS1, NS5 dipole charges, which will give either the dipole CFT or the Kerr CFT. And also, there if we can obtain neck from ADS3 cross S3, where lots of three steps of U duality transformations, and the first step is to first obtain this dipole CFT. So there are lots of progress in the holography of warped ADS or Kerr CFT, but there are also many many questions. For example, we don't know which is the correct consistent boundary conditions. Whether it first of all we never although Cardi formula suggests that we should have the asymptotic symmetry group can be generated by two rare sorrows, but we don't know any consistent boundary condition to allow both left and the red moving rare sorrows. But recent development from this Detonet, Hoffman, and Hartman suggests that maybe we don't need to interpret the entropy. Maybe we don't need the Cardy's formula, but instead we just need the asymptotic symmetry group is generated by Weyl Sorrow plus U1 Kasmoudi. We also don't know why this conformal weight will depend on the momentum, and there are also many details of the dual conformal field theory we don't know. So then one question we may ask is that will string theory help with these questions? So now let's go to string theory. So we start with string theory background ADS3 cross S3 times four-dimensional manifold supported by NSNS fluxes. The near where this the metric is given by this, and the d omega 3 is this is the six dimensional metric, this is ADS3 and this is S3. The asymmetry of course is given by 2 SL2R and the 2 SU2s. String theory on this background is the Westminster-Witten model on the worksheet theory on ADS3 is the SL2R with WZW model, and the Lagrangian can be written as this, and we can where gamma and gamma bar here we interpreted as two real coordinates, and rho is the radial direction. We can introduce auxiliary field beta and beta bar, and then the Lagrangian is written as this. When at the boundary of ADS3, where rho goes to infinity, this term becomes small, and the theory just become a free scalar system and a free beta gamma and free beta gamma system. The spectrum is given by it's a product of it consists of discrete representations and continuous representations, where J labels the is the conformal weight, and W is the winding number. When W equal to non-zero, is the representation with non-zero W is obtained from spectral flow of W equals to zero. The primary operators with conformal weight H can be written as this, where X and X bar can be understood as the coordinate on the boundaries of T. Now we do a Fourier transformation. We see that this conformal, this primary operator is a plane wave in the gamma direction. It's very useful to work in momentum space to generalize these formulas to warped ADS3. Now we do a TST transformation, where the two we pick the two U1 directions from both the ADS3 fiber and the S3 fiber. Now after the TST transformation, we get warped become the metric becomes S3 fabrication over ADS3. If we do a dimensional reduction to three dimensions, it becomes the now warped ADS3 or the so-called Schrodinger space. Of course, the asymmetry group is broken to the SL2R is broken to U1, and also the SU2 is also broken to U1. For scalar, the wave equation can be expanded as these eigenstates and the red moving conformal weights is becoming this where M is the sixth dimensional mass and K is the Casimir from the SU2. Lambda is the deformation parameter. P is the momentum along the U1 in ADS3, and Q bar is the U1 along SU2. Now we can see the Wachis theory on this TST background. It turns out that this Wachis theory on the new background can be obtained from ADS3 cross S3 by a field redefinition, where here is the field redefinition in terms of the differentiated fields. Gamma hat is the old fields, and gamma and psi. Gamma is the U1 direction in ADS3, and psi is the U1 direction in S3. Now, D is D of DZ, D by DZ. We can integrate these formulas and get the integrated field redefinition, where mu is the bosonization of the U1 current in the ADS3 direction, which is just the beta, and we call this Wi-Fi bar is the bosonization of the U1 from S3. So after this field redefinition, we see that equations motion and the constraints becomes the same as the string theory on ADS3 cross S3, but the boundary conditions now becomes different. U1 direction in ADS3 after sigma going from 0 to 2 pi becomes is shifted by the amount of the momentum in the U1 in S3. Similar things happen for the U1 in S3. To recapitulate, string theory on the TST background is the same as string theory on ADS3 cross S3. With the above twisted boundary conditions, where this TST background has a warped ADS3 factor in the metric. Now let's consider the vortex operators. Before the deformation, we have the mu, which is the bosonization of the U1, has we have these OPEs because mu is given by d mu equals to beta, but we know in beta gamma, free beta gamma system, we have this OPE, and in a free scalar system, rho has this OPE, and similar for Wi-Fi bar. Now we consider how to get this twisted boundary condition. So this twisted boundary condition says that after sigma going from 0 to 2 pi, we pick up a length. So this can be obtained by some wells in land. So here we denote the vertex of denote we use VPQ bar to denote the creating state of definite state, the state of with definite P and Q bar, then we have by definition this using these LPEs, we have this integrations. So this physical states should acquire from the boundary conditions before. We see that physical states should obey these conditions. So the correct vertex operator for the physical states in corresponding to states in the new background should be the old operator dressed by this factor, where we see that VPQ hat, we denote VPQ hat with no U1 charges, and this is the old vertex operator, and this is the dressing operator. When lambda equals to zero, this just becoming the old vertex operator, and P is arbitrary real number, and Q bar is a contest. Yes, sure. Yes, here. We can show that this because the reason for that is that there's the level matching condition. So all this new operator will be mutually local to each other. Okay, so this can also be interpreted as SO21 rotation on the Nerone lattice, rotating the gamma and psi lattice to the new lattice, to a vector to a new vector.
K bar, adding to the Lagrangian multiple J minus K.
Well, it's the new thing here is that it's one from the SL to R, the other from the.
I'm just asking this. So if this deformation is the same as adding to the Lagrangian bilinear built out of SL. Holomorphic SL currents and anthropomorphic SU2 currents.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so let's summarize the spectrum. So for the when we consider highest weight representation, the unshare condition okay, so before coming to that, I should mention that this the stressing just comes from it's the same as doing a spectral flow. After the spectral flow, the unshared condition becomes different. The conformal weight, which is the solution of this unshared condition, gives H bar, which is just what we expected, what is predicted from supergravity analysis. But in string theory, this is quite natural because it's just from the spectral flow. And this is for the massive spectrum. But in ADS3, there's something special. That's the boundary states. Kutuzov and Seborg, they build and given, they build up the boundary gravitons using the worksheet or vortex operators. So the main idea is that boundary gravitons are created by some non-trivial diffeomorphisms and plus some gauge transformations. So the vortex operator can be just read down by the corresponding operator given by the diffeomorphism and the gauge transformation. Now for the right moving for the right moving boundary gravitons, the corresponding diffeomorphism is parametrized by this E I P bar gamma bar, and this is the vector that generated the diffeomorphism, and the gauge transformation is just zero. This vortex operator is this, and this corresponds to the red moving boundary gravitons, and we see that we see explicitly that these OPEs form this OPEs form a Virasoro with a central charge given by where now the central charge is a operator. We can evaluate it on some background, and the final result is that the central charge is 6Q square, which is the same as given by the Brown-Hanow boundary conditions. But this is all the same as before. But for the left moving boundary gravitons, the corresponding vortex operator is given by should be given by this vector field, but there is a discrepancy because this vector field has integer for off, but a diffeomorphism from but the left moving diffeomorphism, if we try to write down the vortex operator, because it depends on the left moving momentum. So from mass formula before, we see that because the P is coming to the conformal weight. So this vertex operator cannot have an integer for off at the boundary. So this suggests that maybe we cannot write down left moving boundary gravitons this way. But maybe this is just because we are using covariant quantization. If we instead use BIST formalism, maybe we still write down this vertex operator. The new thing is that we have some crossover modes. These left translations now becomes some right moving Kac-Moody generators. We can write down the operator and get the because this because in setup we are working with now WAPT ADS3, so this level of this left moving this crossover from the left translation is zero. But if we work with other background, for example, TST from the finite temperature BTZ, we'll see that the level is non-zero. Similarly, this SU2 rotations, which is broken, now becomes broken to U1, now becomes also red moving Kac-Moody, and with a non-zero level equals to Q square. To summarize, I put I should put with Brown-Hanno. So here is the this table is for ADS3 cross S3 with Brown-Hanno boundary conditions. The asymmetry SL2R and SU2, they become Weyl-Sorrows and Kac-Moody algebras correspondingly. But with, I should delete this and put it here, sorry. For WAPT ADS3 cross U, cross S3, we see that the left moving SL2R becomes which is broken to U1, but it becomes a right moving Kac-Moody. And also, that's also true for the right moving, which is also broken. For this, the right moving. Red moving U1, which is also broken, now becomes also a Kac-Moody, U1 Kac-Moody. Sorry? It's continuous.
So this SU2L goes from generating Kac-Moody left to generating Kac-Moody R suddenly?
That confused us at the beginning, but then they realized that the first table is only true for the Brown-Hanno boundary conditions. But now we are going to post a paper on this new boundary conditions on ADS3, and here we found a consistent boundary condition where, although the SM2 group is, still has two SL2Rs and two SU2s, but the asymptotic SM2 group is different from these two Weyl-Sorrows and two Kac-Moodys. Instead, it's one Kazmudi and one Virasoro. And this is also consistent with the entropy formula proposed by Itonoi, Hartmann, and Hoffman. So now we think that maybe we should, to study WAPT ADS3, we should not start, start from Brown-Hanau boundary conditions. Instead, we should start from this new boundary conditions.
So the boundary conditions means you change the spectrum of allowed operators. How does the watch here? How is the watch here affected by the short boundary conditions?
The watch sheet will not know the boundary conditions directly. You have to. Here the boundary condition means the boundary at ADS.
Shouldn't that affect at least the choice of spectrum operators that you're allowed to talk about in the
worksheet? Yes. Does it? It will. It will tell you how it will change the spectrum.
So somehow the deformation you used to turn on the warping of ADS3 is a parameter that didn't exist maybe in ADS3 Kansas 3, but it's allowed in this variant?
It's not, it doesn't exist in the, in the old dictionary, where we impose Brown-Hanau boundary conditions, but it should exist in this ADS3 cross S3 holography with new with this new boundary conditions.
Do you know what changes in the in the boundary CFD?
Sorry?
How does the boundary CFD change?
No, we don't know, Mike. Yeah, we don't know.
It's dramatic, right? I mean, all the symmetries are totally different, no? In this table.
Yeah.
I mean, right against left and stuff like this.
No? I mean, typically, if you change the boundary conditions in ADS, you're going to need to add some operators in the boundary CFD.
It's not clear how to change this in ADS3. Yeah. But if such a theory exists if such a dual conformal field theory exists for ADS3, then that's the natural beginning to study WAPT ADS3. That's all. Thank you.
Any questions?